All right, 2017, where did it go? Does anybody know where it went? 2017 disappeared. I feel like I was just making New Year's resolutions for 2017, and now it's 2018, and I got a little bit of a list to go tonight before it happens. Anybody else in that same boat? Don't raise your hands. I'm just kidding. Do you guys realize that we as humans have given ourselves a reset button? Like, we literally have given ourselves a reset button. Every December 31st at midnight, we hit a reset button, and we hope our lives just magically change for the better. You know, have you ever heard, like, new year, new me? You know, like, hashtag forever changed or hashtag forever young or whatever. Anybody saying nowadays, like, you just put a hashtag on it and people are saying it. You know what I'm saying? So, you guys, new year, new me, we have a reset button and we always press it. You guys, I used to use and abuse that button. Like, I was the master of this reset button. Every year I would press it just hoping that I would be this different person. I would just eat and eat and eat and eat, you guys. It'd be like cakes. Oh, you made a cake? I'll have half of it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like cookies? No way. I'm kind of like trying to stay away from sugar. Give me 30 of them. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me that. You guys, you might as well have set up an IV of Pepsi into my veins directly, because that's how much soda I was drinking. It was just ridiculous. And then the new year would come around and be like, this year is different. I'm going to look better. So I was like praying that as I went to sleep, and I hit that button at midnight, that some sort of a New Year's fairy would come along and just grant my wishes of being buff, skinny, and looking like Channing Tatum all at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Only two of those happened. I look like Channing Tatum and I'm skinny. You know what I'm saying? The buff's coming. I'm just kidding, guys. It's a joke. Loosen up. I know it's cold. You know, our faces are kind of frozen. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. You guys, whether or not we fulfilled our Thanksgiving or New Year's resolutions, the year is ending and a new one is upon us. How many of you guys in here have New Year's resolutions that you didn't fulfill? Raise your hands. You don't have to, but for kicks and giggles, I didn't. You know, if you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. I'm just kidding. You're not a liar. I didn't call you that at church, okay? You're not a liar. Oh my gosh. Has anybody ever stopped to think, why don't I fulfill those things that, you know, my New Year's resolutions? Why didn't I fulfill that? Has anybody ever stopped to think about that? Like, man, I really wish that this year I would have done that. You know, for years, for the longest time, I was like trying to lose this certain amount of weight, okay? I was overweight. I didn't like it. I wasn't fitting into anything. And if I put it on, I looked like Tommy Boy, you know, like ripping the back out, you know, that guy in a little coat, whatever. We shouldn't be laughing about that in church. I'm just kidding. It's funny. Anyways, I looked like Tommy Boy, and I was like trying to lose this weight, and I was so discouraged. Every time I looked at a picture of myself, I'd be so discouraged. Like, man, like, I just want to change. I want to change. But what happens when you don't do what you've always wanted to do? When something doesn't work out, you kind of get ashamed of it, right? So like 2015, I was like, all right, I'm going to lose 40 pounds this year. This year, I'm going to do it. And I didn't do it by, you know, the next year. So I was kind of ashamed of it. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to kind of hide this. But what if we took those things that we were kind of ashamed of and we just looked at it for a second? Why is it that way? And we allowed that thing to change us and we used it to propel us into the future. You see, when I came to 2016 last year, I was like, okay, this is it. No more. We got to change something. I got to start fitting into clothes again. Crystal has to buy me new pants like every week. So what I did was we looked back over the things. I was like, what's going on? What do I need to change? We need to change drinking soda, okay? Get rid of the IV. Get rid of the candy. Get rid of the starch, all that kind of stuff. Put all that stuff aside. Change what we're doing. Learn from the past instead of hiding it. Every time you hide the past and every time you forget about what you did, you forget about the things that you were supposed to learn in the past. You see, the past, yeah, it's gone. It's gone. You can't go back to 2017. You can't go back and just dig it back up. But you can learn from it. So we went back. Crystal and I looked it over and we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We looked it over and glory be to God. This year, we were able to lose the weight that we wanted to lose. But that's all glory to God. And it's because we looked at what God did in our lives. We looked at, okay, God, what can we do? How can we change things? And we changed it, and we learned from it, and now we're here. That's how you learn, and that's how you go from one place to the next. That's how you get to the next place. You guys, what if we looked at things a little bit different? What if we had a perspective change on our lives? What if we looked at the past and instead of being ashamed of what we were or what we went through, and what if we had the perspective of, I'm thankful for what I went through because of that, I am who I am today. God, thank you for what I went through then because of that, I am who I am today. And what if we looked at the future, 2018? Some of us may be regretting 2018 and already. Some of us may be very, very not excited to enter 2018. Some of us, maybe you're going to lose your house in 2018, and you know it. Maybe you know that your child's going to get taken away from you in 2018. I know it's doom and gloom. I know it's not fun to talk about, but maybe 2018 is just not going to be the funnest year for you. What if instead of looking at all the bad that's about to coming into 2018, what if you look at all the good and start thanking God for what he's going to do into your life in 2018? What if we changed our perspective? What if we allowed those things that are coming to us, what if we allowed them to change for the better? Do you guys know that thankfulness is the language that God speaks? Thankfulness is the language of God. Thankfulness and faith is the language of God. So that's how he speaks. That's how he talks. That's how he, you know, have you ever like came into a worship service and it's just like, you know, I'm just not feeling anything. You know, like maybe this morning you're just like, I'm just not feeling anything. Man, try being thankful a little bit. Just like, God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that I'm here. Thank you that I'm at the service. Can we turn to Psalms 100, please? Check this out. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Okay, has anybody ever heard this scripture before? Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates. Has anybody ever wondered what is the gate? What gate am I entering? Whose gate am I entering? Do I even want to be in this gate? Is it a weird gate? What am I doing? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The gate in this scripture here, that gate is Jesus. It's talking about entering into the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You see, before Jesus came and died on the cross, there was a huge gap between man and God. So here's man, and here's God, and there's a gap. There's no way to talk to each other. There's no way to communicate. It's just, you know, there was very, very little communication here. When Jesus came along, he died on the cross. He became a bridge for us between God and us. So now we have communication. Now we have access. The way that you get to God is you're thankful for what Jesus did inside of your life. Jesus is the gate. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When we speak in thankfulness, we're speaking the language that God speaks, and he could finally understand what he wants us to do. We're starting to speak each other's language. Who in here has a baby? Raise your hand. Have you ever had a child, or you're going to have a child, or maybe, you know, it doesn't matter if your child's 40 years old or you know, an infant. At one time, when your baby came out of the womb, did they come out speaking in full sentences? Could you understand everything that they were saying? No. Moms that are about to have babies, newsflash, you won't understand them, okay? It's just, that's just how life goes. Babies, when they come out of the womb, either they were crying or the doctor spanked them and then they were crying after that. You know what I'm saying? So babies, they just cry. It's just what they do. If they're poopy, guess what? They cry. If they're hungry, they cry. If they want mommy, they cry. If they just want to cry for no reason, they're gonna cry. That's what babies do. That's how they communicate. And it's fine because you love your baby. Right? You love them so much. But then it comes time and you're like, okay, I really, 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 really want to help you. But I have no idea what you're talking about right now. You're just crying. Okay, you're crying for no reason. I promise you. You know what I'm saying? I just want to understand you. But one day, guess what happens? Your baby says his first or her first word. And it's either mommy or daddy or maybe uncle. Like the uncle taught him something really bad and they're not supposed to say and they said that first. You know what I'm saying? You got to like banish the uncle for a week or something. Your baby says the first word. And then let's say it's daddy. And they're like, daddy. You know, like, what did you just say? They're like, daddy, daddy, daddy. And you're like, my son just spoke his first word. Before you know it, you're posting it on Instagram, you're posting it on Facebook, you're telling everybody about it. Everybody in the family has a group text going, my child spoke his first word, and it's daddy. And it doesn't matter what it is, it's daddy. Mommy's daddy now, the cat's daddy, poopy diaper is daddy, I'm hungry is daddy, everything's daddy. But you could care less, because your child is speaking your language, and you were just stoked, you're out of your mind. That's exactly how God views us with thankfulness. God speaks thankfulness. And when we're thankful for where we came from, and we're thankful for where we're going, and we're thankful for where we're at now, we're speaking the language that God speaks. And he's like, say it again. Say it again. Say it again. That is so exciting to me. Say it again. Say it again. That's exactly what God does. Have you ever heard the scripture, without faith, it is impossible to please God? How many of you heard that before? Raise your hand. You guys, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And every time I heard that scripture, I'd get so discouraged. I'd get so upset because I'd be like, what if 50% of the time I'm not believing in faith? I'm not in faith 50% of the time. Heck, man, maybe sometimes I'm not even faith 25% of the time. Maybe 10% of the time I'm in faith. Maybe even a mustard seed of the time I'm in faith. That's about it. Does that mean that God's not pleased with me for the rest of the time? Does that mean God's angry with me for the rest of the time? No. The thing I was so discouraged about it, and I started to think about it. Wait a minute. God sent his son to die on the cross for me. God loves me so much that he sent his son. And what kind of a God that would pay such a high price for me would be displeased with me the majority of the time because I'm not in faith? That is not God. No. What I believe it is saying is that when you start speaking in faith and when you start speaking in thankfulness in the language of God, he can finally understand you because he always loves you and he is always pleased with you, but he just can't understand what you're saying when you're crying, when we're complaining. I was like, oh God, I have to go outside and just start my car 20 minutes early? Ah, man, I have to take my kid to the piano recital? Oh, does anybody do piano recitals anymore? I don't think, I just made that up, so. My kid's gonna, you know, he wants to do NASCAR? Man, I love NASCAR, never mind. I'm just going off topic here. Okay, whatever. But when we start speaking God's language, that's when he starts doing things in our lives. Or thank you, God. God, thank you that I have a car. Thank you that my car has heat. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm saying? Thank you, God, that I have boots to put on when I go outside. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And this seems like the most simple of things, but you have no idea what it can do. You're like, Anthony, that's so simple. Well, challenge me in it. Change your vocabulary for maybe 1 week. Start thanking him instead of complaining. When you wake up in the morning, what do you say the first thing out of your mouth? Oh, God, I have to go to work. Thank you, God, I have a job. Thank you, God, we can put food on the table for this. Thank you, God, for this job. You guys, one time I was in Antioch, California. Anybody from California in here? Yeah, what part? Nice. I'm from the north part, so forget about it. Anyways, Antioch, California, the northern part. I was born in Sacramento, California. We were raised there for like 4 years, okay? And then we moved to Oregon. But every summer, we were back to California. At 7.5 years old, I had started riding a bicycle. But the cool part about that was that I skipped training wheels. Cool? Yeah, I skipped training wheels. I was the hottest kid on the block. No training wheels. I was the coolest person, okay? I came to California, visited my cousins. My cousins were like, dude, you can ride a bike. My bike had flames on it, and it was a Huffy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Couldn't do any tricks on it, but it was, I mean, dude, you have no idea. Anyways, my cousin Tamara, she had a boyfriend, and his name was Clint. Now, Clint was known as the bad boy in Antioch, California. You know what I'm saying? He was a mechanic. And he had tattoos, and he had a piercing right here, you know? You remember the two, he had two piercings or one piercing? I don't remember, it was like something gang-related or something, whatever. He was in a gang, but he was like 12, I don't know how old he was. Anyways, no, he was like 20. Anyways, Clint, he was a cool guy to me, and he had souped up this little mini bike, okay? You guys know what I'm talking about, those little mini bikes, those little Baja bikes? He souped it up, and it went 20 miles an hour. Now it goes 45 miles an hour. Okay. Now what Clint very vaguely told me before he let me ride this was that he had switched the throttle to the brake. Okay. Now the throttle for the bike is here. Now for me, just learning how to ride a bike without training wheels, mind you, the brake is right here. Okay. So he gets on the bike. He puts his helmet on my head. That's two sizes too big. And it feels like a Harley between my legs. I still remember it. And he's like, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, and like, so I get on it. And all of a sudden, he's like, all right, go for it, buddy. And I take off. And I'm just like, wah! You know, take off. And I'm just flying, you know. To me, it feels like I'm going 100, but I'm probably going 20, you know, maybe 25 miles an hour. Anyways, I remember trying to push the brake because there was a second brake at my left foot, and I couldn't press it. Anyways, I'm going, and people are screaming, get off the bike, and I'm like, I can't, I don't know what to do, like, you know, and so I'm like riding, and before I know it, I'm supermanning this bike, okay, my hands are on the steering, on the handlebars, and my feet are just going, and I'm just, ah, you know, And anyways, I'm heading straight towards the end of the street, which I get there faster than I know it, and bam, right into a chicken wire fence. You guys know what a chicken wire fence is? I don't even know why people have them. Like, they don't do anything for people, you know? Like, there was no chicken there. It was just chicken wire. Anyways, I don't remember why. Anyways, I'm just screaming, I'm crying. People, they come up and they're like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah." You know, like crying, and like to me, I was near death experience, you know, and like as a kid. And so the kids did everything, my cousins did everything they possibly could, so they didn't have to tell my mom, you know, like that's what you did as a kid. You try to fix it first before you tell mom so you don't get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? So they tried to fix it and they're like, "Are you okay? You're gonna be okay." And then they even did the one where it's like, "Look," and they punch themselves, they're like, "Look, I'm hurt too," you know. I remember that. It doesn't work. Quit kidding yourselves. Annika, remember this. Anyways, you guys, I you know, I'm hurt. And so finally they go get my mom. My mom comes and I'm just screaming. I'm crying. I'm hysterical. And I'm like, "Mom, it hurts." And she's like, "What's wrong, baby?" Real calm. And then I'm like, screaming, crying. She's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, she goes, and she grabs me and she goes, "Anthony, I can't understand you when you're crying. Tell me what's wrong." And I look at her and I'm like, how unsensitive do you have to be? You are my mother. You should just know what's wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? And so anyways, finally, sure enough, I'm like, "Mom, like, I have hurt here and here." Turns out I had a bruise like this big on this leg and then a burn about the same size on this leg from the pipe when I was trying to push the brake. And when I told my mom, when I finally told my mom what was going on, before I knew it, she had ice on this leg, you know, burn cream on this leg, and I had a popsicle on my left hand watching Sandlot on the couch. You know what I'm saying? So, what am I saying with this long story? That is how God is with us. We come to him with our problems, and he sees us crying, and we're like, "God, like, He doesn't speak crying. He doesn't speak complaining. He doesn't speak bitterness. He doesn't speak jealousy. God is love. God is thankfulness. He's everything that is light. And so, man, when you get on the same frequency and you're like, "God, like, this is what's going on. I'm going through a really rough time. But God, you have never left me. You have never forsaken me. You're not doing it today and you're not going to do it tomorrow. So I trust you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for what I've learned from the past. Thank you for what I'm learning now. And thank you for what I'm about to learn in the future." And when you start speaking God's language, you watch. God starts doing things in your life, and you're like, "Whoa, it's got a little bit easier. It's got a little bit easier." You know what I'm saying? Have you ever turned the channel? Like, in Oregon, we would turn channels on the TV, and then, like, 13 channels would be the Spanish channel. And, like we would stop sometimes, and we would try to, like, pretend like we knew what they were saying, you know, like, try to guess what they were saying. Have you ever noticed that when you're watching the Spanish channel, no matter how many buttons you turn it up in volume, it doesn't change the fact that you can't understand what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? God can't just turn up our crying and then all of a sudden, "Oh, there's the frequency right there. I understand it." You know what I'm saying? No amount of crying is going to get you anywhere. How many successful people in the world have you ever met that got to the top, to where they were, by crying? Nobody. Nobody got there. You don't get to the place where you're at by crying. How long have you felt bad about yourself until you started to feel good about yourself? There's no amount of time. So changing your circumstance is changing it by thankfulness. "God, thank you for where I was. I see where I was. I was ashamed of it. I'm not anymore. That's who I was. Look what you did in my life now. Look what you're about to do in the future." You guys, have you guys ever heard of Paul? Paul in the Bible? You ever heard of Paul in the Bible? Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a humongous contributor to the church of the body of Christ. He is partly the reason why we're here today, you know, in this congregation here. Paul got brutally beaten over and over for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Paul, before he was Paul, his name was Saul? Now, Paul is a Christian. Saul was a Christian killer. Saul, before he was Paul, Saul, in stories in the Bible, it talks about Saul would literally hold people's coats as they killed Christians. He would set up brutal attacks against Christians. You guys ever heard of stonings before? Where they would take rocks and just beat people with rocks? It sounds super savage. It's like, why do that? But people would do that. And he would set them up to beat Christians, to kill them. people would die by stonings because of Paul. It's not Paul, Saul. Now, Saul, one day, he was on the road to Damascus. He was going to go kill more Christians. He had a huge encounter with Jesus. Jesus changed his life radically within a matter of a couple of days. Saul changed his name. His name was now Paul. Paul was a different person. It represented what had happened to him. Paul was the representation of God literally putting his hand in his life and changing his life. That's what had happened. Now, check this out in Galatians 1. Can we get Galatians 1 up there, please? This is Paul talking to the church of Galatia, and this is what he says. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. Now, Paul, what is he doing here? He brings up his past. He starts talking about his past almost as if he had some victory over this, almost as if he wasn't embarrassed about it anymore. Don't you think that a man that killed so many Christians and that persecuted the church, the very church that he's trying to build, don't you think that that man would want to hide that because he's a little bit of ashamed of it? No, I mean, it's like he starts the chapter. This is Galatians 1. He starts the conversation with, I used to kill you guys, but now I'm here to save you. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? That's what you're going to start with? Like, all the lines that are out there on the internet, you start with that one? Like, that's cool, man. All right. More power to you. That's what Paul starts with. You see, Paul had taken what had happened to him in the past, and he allowed it to change him into the future. And he used what had happened to him in the past as a point of reference to tell people about the success that he's now having. He learned from what he did. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be a little bit ridiculous to do what he kept, or to keep killing Christians after he was a Christian? Be like, I don't really know what to do. I'm just going to keep killing Christians until I figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, that's not what Paul did. Don't you think it would be a little bit ridiculous if I wanted to lose weight, I just kept the IV, the Pepsi IV in my arm? You know what I'm saying? Like, that would just be so counterproductive. What is the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That's insanity. No. Paul allowed the past to change his present for a successful future. That's what Paul did. And look at him now. I mean, you can't look at him. He's in heaven, so quit looking for him, okay? He's there, not here. But Paul did that. He allowed the past to change him. When we look back in the past, let's not be ashamed of what happened, but let's be excited. Let's be almost, okay, this happened to me. You know, God is always about forward progression. You know, if you know anything about God, he's always about the future. He never remembers the past. In fact, he says that he threw your past away as far as the east is to the west. And tell me, when does the west and the east meet? When do they meet? They never meet. In fact, people that study the sky, was it astronomers? I got this wrong the last time. Astronomers, oh, thank you. Sorry. Astronomers, they study the sky, they study the stars. They are telling us that the universe is still expanding. They say that it's not going to end. It's just going to keep going. It's just going to keep going. And it's such, what I see in that, I see such a picture of God's grace in our life. When he says he threw it as far as the east is to the west, he threw it and it just keeps going. He's not going to go back and grab it. He can't find it anymore. It's too far. It's out of his reach. He doesn't care. God forgot about your past. Learn from it and move on. Forget about it. Do you know who lives in your past? Satan. He loves your past. In fact, he knows your past better than you know your past. He loves it. He lives there. The devil loves little hangups. He loves little things, like the little bitterness, the little jealousy, the little, you know what I'm saying? He loves that kind of stuff. In fact, the devil knows your past better than you do. That's where he lives. So if you're walking on the path, you're walking towards God, and you're like, okay, God, you and me, what happened, happened. I'm learning from it. I'm moving on. Thank you, God. I'm coming your way. And all of a sudden, he'll be like, hey, remember that cake you ate at midnight last night? And you're like, who said that? I thought that was private. Nobody knew about that. Do you remember, you cut off that guy and flipped him off in traffic? Do you remember him? And you're like, oh my gosh, who said that? And it's the devil behind you bringing up your past over and over again to make you remember, to make you more ashamed. The devil, all he wants to do, he wants to stop forward progression. And if he can stop your forward progression, then he's done his job. He knows you're going to heaven. He knows that you love God. He knows all of this. He knows that you're learning from your past and you're going to your future. But if he could get you to just do this and stay that way, he knows you can't. You got your eyes off of God. Our job as Christians is to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Jesus is the one, if we keep our eyes focused on him, the gate, and we're thankful for what he did and thankful for what he did in our lives, man, there's so much that's going to unlock in your life. You have no idea. Challenge me in this. Change your vocabulary for 1 week. I know I said this, but change your vocabulary for 1 week in 2018 and start being way more thankful for what God's doing in your life, because God never leaves or forsakes. Can we get Psalms 23 up there, please? Check this out. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. That's God. No matter what you're going through, if 2018 doesn't look good, if maybe you're going to lose your house, or maybe you're behind on some bills, or maybe there's just some really rough stuff going on, he leads you beside still and restful waters. Even when you walk through the darkest of valleys, you will not be afraid because of what he is doing in your lives. He is right next to you, guiding you, moving you along every step. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to complain. He's right there. Every time you feel the urge to complain, God, this stinks. My job is terrible. God, thank you for this job. You see that I need a new job. You see that maybe my boss isn't the best to me. Thank you for a new job. Thank you for something to come my way or something like that. Thank you, God. All you have to do is look up because he's a father. He's a loving father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be thankful Christians in 2018. Let's allow the past to propel us and be a stepping stone for our future. Let's allow what happened in 2017 and the things that you might have been ashamed of, be thankful for those learning opportunities and allow those learning opportunities to propel you into your future.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.